But there's one thing for all times, and that's God's love. First John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our what? Our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, people, I wish my heart could really understand that. As he, Jesus Christ is, so are we where? In this world, in this moment of time, as he is, so are we. In this world, you know, Jesus Christ paid in full. He completely redeemed us, sanctified us, made us righteous. He did all that because he knew no sin. He was without sin. What a man. What a man. And that's why it's Calvary that covers it all. And that's why in God's spiritual clinic, his greatest specialists are heart surgeons who are transplanting the hearts of flesh and stone with hearts of love. You don't have to tell how you live each day. You don't have to say if you work or play. A tried, true barometer serves in its place. The way you live will show in your face. The selfishness, the fear that you bear in your heart will not stay inside where it first got a start. For sinew and blood are a thin veil of lace. What you wear in your heart is what you wear on your face. If your life is loving, if for others you live, it's not what can you get, but how much can you give. If you live close to God, in his infinite love, peace, mercy, and grace, you don't have to tell it. It will show in your face. And because it shows in our face and in our lives, in our daily walk, is because at one time we were all shackled by a heavy burden, and that burden was sin. We're without God, without hope in this world. But that one day, he touched me. He touched all of us. I said to someone a while back, how would you like for all your thinking to be flashed on the living screen of a TV? You see, whatever you say or do things outside of love, they're going to haunt you sooner or later because you're just going to be humiliated to face the results. You see, whenever you step out of love, you're out of step with God, people. There's nothing that puts a man over in life successfully except love, because love never what? Fails. You see, love at white heat burns selfishness to a crisp in your life. There is absolutely no force in the world that can dominate or control love. There's just no force that can control it. There's no force that can dominate it. Hardly anybody has ever dared to believe it, because to believe it was to try it, to do it. The Word of God says love never what? Faileth. And that settles it. There is no force that can dominate or control love. The only way you can get rid of that greatness of that love would be to kill the individual or individuals who are manifesting. That's why we ought to go the limits with love. When I think of going the limits with love, my heart effervesces, it glows, it bubbles. The reason we ought to go the limits with love, class, is because you and I were created by God Almighty to be lovers. Not haters, not full of sarcasm and bitterness and everything else. God created us in Christ Jesus to be lovers. In the second epistle of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a doulos, a servant, a doulos, a marked slave, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. It does not say Christ Jesus, an apostle of Jesus Christ, because whenever the word Jesus appears before the word Christ, it emphasizes the earthliness, people, the humbleness, the humility, the on-earthness of the Messiah, the Christ. To them who have obtained, who have received, like precious believing with us, or faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our what? Savior, Jesus Christ. Then verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, through that knowledge of God, people, which he made available through Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According, verse 3, as his, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things. He's given us what, class? If he's given it to us, do you have to pray for it? Do you have to believe for it? All you have to do is take it. Take it. You gotta just accept it. Walk in to the throne room of God and say thank you and come out with it. He has given unto us all things, people, and the word all means, gosh, unto life and godliness. He's given us all things unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and to virtue, to power. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereby, that is, whereby his super excellence, whereby, that is, by his own, which are were given unto us, the exceeding great and what? Precious promises, in order that by these great and precious promises you might be partakers, and that word partakers means that which is common to all, partakers of the divine what? Nature. You see, as natural men of body and soul, we're children of wrath. But people, when we got born again, when you got born again, you got a new nature, people. Hardly anybody's ever understood this or believed it, but you got a new nature. It's God in Christ, honey, in you, the hope of glory. It's a new nature, people. It's a new nature. Ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the new nature. It's divine. It's God in Christ in you. That's the divine nature. And you have escaped, having escaped the corruption. The word corruption is where you get worse and worse and worse. That's the word corruption that is in the world through the lust. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Diligence is care that has a real heart in it. Add to your believing, your pistis, virtue, power, and to that power of God within you, the knowledge of the word. People, you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, if you put on the word, put on the word, put the word in your mind, that's power, understand? Spiritual power is latent. It is potential. Honey, it becomes kinetic, sir, when you put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in whom? Put ye on, therefore, the Lord what? Jesus Christ, that's in the mind. That's what this verse is talking about. Then you do what? In verse 6. In verse 6, you add, here it is, and to knowledge, you add temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And that godliness is your spiritual relationship with God. You don't add religion, you add godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, which is agapeo, which is the love of God in the renewed mind, in manifestation, in our walk, in our talk, in our living. 4, verse 8. If these things be in you, if they're in you, and if they abound. Now they're in you if you're born again. And they abound as you renew your mind and walk on the word of God. They make you that you shall neither be barren. And the word barren is useless. You're not going to be useless. Nor are you going to be what? Unfruitful. In the knowledge of our what? Lord and Savior. People, you're going to abound. You're not going to be useless. See, you were not called by accident. I do not believe that you are here in this class on living victoriously by accident. I believe you're here by the providence of God. I believe God has had his hand on you. I believe he marked you out, people, before the foundations of the world. Then in verse 9 he says, but in contrast, he, that individual who lacketh these things, he's blind. He cannot see afar off, which means he can't see it close in or afar off. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old what? Sins. You see, remember the prophet I discussed with you in the class. The singer, the prophet. He just forgot. He forgot he was blind. And he couldn't see things that were near or far off until he came back to the word, the revelation of God's word. And he forgot what God had done for him. How many, many, many times we've forgotten what God did for us. We forget what we felt like and what God did for us the night we were born again. Or the first time you ever heard yourself speak in a tongue. And know for the great reality of the truth of God's Word, that you were born again of God's Spirit with Christ in you, the hope of glory. We forget that because we allow the world to infiltrate our walk rather than to walk on the Word of God. You see, people, it's God in Christ in you. God, Almighty people, who created the heavens and the earth. It's God in Christ, His only begotten Son, in you, in you, in you. Now that, for the most part, is just words to people, but it's truth, people. It's not just words. It is the Word. It is the truth of God Almighty, people. Man. You see, with God in Christ in you, that's why you have the new nature, the divine nature that Peter's talking about. It's God in Christ in you. It's a new nature. Look at the Gospel of John, people. That new nature in you is a nature of love. The old nature is the nature of Jacob. The new nature is the nature of God in Christ in you. And that new nature is love. For God so loved, God is in you. Gospel of John, chapter 14. John 14, people. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, said this to Judas Iscariot, people. He said, if a man does one thing, what? Love me. That man is going to keep my words. And when we love him and we keep his words, then Jesus said, and my Father, and who is Jesus Christ's Father, people? God. And my Father will love him. And we, God and I, Jesus said, God and I, we will come, and the will puts it in the absolute tense. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it, people. Jesus Christ and God, we will come into him. Into him is the text. And make our abode in him. Make our abode in him. It's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We will come and make our abode, what? With him. You are the home, your body sitting right out here tonight in this class. Honey, man, you are the home of God in Christ. You're his home. We'll make our abode. We will live in him. Now you begin to see the scripture that he is within us to will and to do his what? And that we are workmen together with whom? God. Oh, people, how far below par the Christians have lived. Who has ever dared in our day and time to believe that we are what the Word of God says we are, and that we have what the Word of God says we have, and that we'll be what the Word of God says we'll be? We do. Try. And you know, it's all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Everything he accomplished for us. And I think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he walked and talked and what he did. I'm thankful. And I feel like that song, that I had a vision or a dream or a revelation of spending a night in Galilee. And tonight I'd like for Lisa Lockridge, forgot her name, married name. Yeah, whatever it is, it's good. Tracy, that's right. Lisa Lockridge, Tracy, and my wonderful Vicky, and our great group of Branded to do right now, last night in Galilee. Chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Look at verse 14. For the love of what? Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. He constraineth us. The love of Christ. You see, whenever the love of God is enthroned in your heart, when you have allowed yourself to be soaked and saturated in the love of God, then it's the love of God that constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, therefore, all are dead. Then we're all dead. Literally, the text reads, that one died for all, therefore all died in him, in Christ Jesus. And he died, verse 15. He died, Jesus Christ, for what? All, that they which live, should henceforth no longer live unto themselves. We're still living, right? We shouldn't live unto ourselves, but unto what? Him. But unto him which died for them, and he did what? Right. Rose again. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, 15, but speaking the what? Truth in love. Speaking the truth in what? Love. May grow up in him, in all things. Grow up in him, in all things, which is the head, even whom? Christ. To grow up in him. We just have to get melted, people, into God's cast of love. Because Christ did not please himself. He pleased his Father. You and I do not please ourselves. We please God's only begotten Son and our Father. So we grow up in him. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head. He is the head. In Romans 15:13, it just tells you that very plainly. Romans 15, verse 3. Did I say 13? Take a 1 off of it. Look at verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the immature, is the text. You see, in a ministry like the Word, there are always babies spiritually being born, right? Every day when we witness the Word and we share the Word, people get born again. They're the immature ones. And we who have been in it longer have a greater knowledge. What do? We bear the infirmities. That doesn't mean they're sick. I'm talking about, we lift them up, the immature ones. We don't please ourselves. Let every one of us please the believing neighbor that's been born again, who is the immature one, to his good, to edification, to build him up. For here's our example. Verse 3. For even Christ pleased what? Not himself. You just got to get melted, people, into the mold or the cast of God's love. I remember the Word says that our words are to be salted when we speak. Words salted are sweet words. Sweet words of love, having the fragrance of heaven, because it's God in Christ in you. This is life pitched to the key of love. And the key of love is always A above middle C, tuned at 440, which is 440 cycles per second. It's tuned to the harmony of God's love. It is to be pitched. And I brought my daddy's, if I can get it out of here, there is that pitching thing, a tuning fork, that's right. And it says A on here, which means this is tuned at A above Middle Sea at 440 cycles per second. Give a listen. Ain't doing very good, am I? Wish I could. I'm going to get closer to my microphone. Did you get that? That's my daddy's. Then he'd go, do, me, so, do, or something. And then we'd all sing. To keep us all on pitch, on tune. You see, the only way your life will ever be pitched and in tune, if you have the love of God. Your life will never be in tune. It will never be pitched properly until you get it in alignment and harmony with the greatness of the love of God. It's the love life that makes you gentle people. It's the love life that makes you fearless. When you have real love, you're not harsh. You're not bitter. You don't speak unkind words. There are no cruel insinuations. No needless sarcasm, you know, knifing sarcasm, punchy sarcasm. There is no envy. There is no suspicion. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, because the love life just does not have that. One of my poems out of the old collection is about the man in the glass. When you get what you want, in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day. Remember that line? The world may make you a king for the day, but next day, watch out. Then you just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what the man has to say. It isn't your father or mother or your wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the man you see in the glass. You may be Jack Horner and chisel a plum and think you're a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fella to first be changed. Forget all the rest, for he's with you right through to the end. And you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your only reward will be heartaches and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. You see, people, when you love God with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, you'll not be cheating yourself. And I thought today how laws are made for the lawless. There is no law for them who walk in love with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. You don't need a love. You don't need a law when you have love. You know that? That's right. You don't need the Ten Commandments when you love. Thou shalt not steal. Good Lord, I have no problem with that. You know, you can lay your wallet out. I'll look in, find your name, hand it back to you. See? Laws are made for the lawless. The love of God is made for believers. And when that love of God has saturated and permeated the innermost part of your being, you don't need any law. You just live love. And when you live love, everything you need comes to you. Really something. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, John 13. Look at verse 34. Jesus said, a what? New commandment I give unto you, that you do one thing, what? Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. As I have what? Loved you. He loved us enough to lay down his life for us. You know, for a good friend, someone may lay down his life, but for somebody totally unworthy to lay down your life, that's love. God so loved that he gave, that we, the unlovable, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. Now, since he did that, and he's living reality in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, God in Christ in me, the least I can do is to endeavor to love people with the love wherewith he loved me. I have no problem ever forgiving anybody. All I have to do is, for a moment, think about what God forgave me for, and I have no problem. That's right. I just don't think evil. You know, even when people have blown it 2, 3, 4 times and people come to me to tattle on them or something, it's the hardest thing in the world for me to think that you did it. It's just beyond me to believe that anybody who would have God in Christ in them, the hope of glory, to be born again, that they'd do that. I just don't think evil. That's love, people. I can love because God loved. You love a child in a loving like you love a child in a smiling by smiling. The world needs to see your love. The world's seen enough of hell and war and fights and all that bitterness. They again need to see God in Christ in you with the love of God oozing out of every vein and artery, nerve, whatever you got, and all those great pores. Pour out the love of God so that once again, men and women, they see Christ. You see, they don't read the Word. They don't know the Word. The only way they'll ever know Christ is to see you. When they see you with the love of God in the renewed mind, living victoriously, not being the scum of the earth, but being more than conquerors, walking in the abundance of the greatness of God's love and mercy, they'll see Christ walking the streets, the roads, the alleys, the homes of our nation. For it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you are God's chosen. You're God's selected people to live victoriously in this day and time and hour, people. Boy, oh boy. Look at verse 35. By this shall all know that you're my what? Disciples. And the disciple's a disciplined one. It's where the word disciple comes from, the disciplined one. We are disciplined to God and his word. Look at Romans 13. Romans 13. Look at this. Romans 13. Verse 10. Love worketh no what? Ill to whom? His neighbor. That's right. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Man, you never think ill to your neighbor. You never envy him. I just don't think that way. Why should I? I shouldn't. I ought to think what the Word says. It's been a tremendous day of teaching on all those different scriptures of love from Corinthians and 1 John and all of those. Tremendous day. We have heard enough of the Word of God. We need to act, people. We need to move. You know more of the Word of God than anybody's perhaps known since the first century. So quit sitting on it. Move, move. So why should we sit here until we die and go to heaven or return or some and have eternal life? Why sit we here? We got to move, move, move. We got to live victoriously in life with the greatness of the love of God that's burning within our souls, people. You see, any time you get close enough to a fire, you get warmed up. You get close enough to people with the greatness of the love of God and burning in their souls, that love's going to take hold of you and you're going to be able to walk with it. So we have to receive, and we walk and talk the talk and walk the talk. And we act the new nature of the living Christ within us. We stay in God's presence. We feed on God's word, people, until our whole being is saturated with God's love. We cover men's failures with silence. That's in 1 Corinthians 13. We cover men's failures with silence. We may see a man's shortcoming or his shortcomings. Then what we do is endeavor to teach them and to love them to help to overcome those shortcomings. We see them in their weaknesses. And then we will endeavor to undergird them with our strength. For we who are strong are to bear, lift up, not push down, not step over, not criticize. You see a man's failure, you don't open your mouth, run all over town, tell everybody. The word says in 1 Corinthians, shut up, silence. Shortcomings, we help them to overcome them. Weaknesses, we undergird our people with strength. We see their need, we share our abundance. And people, when the love of God really lives within your heart and you're living victoriously in the greatness of God, you just got to go and tell. It's so hot within you, you got to tell somebody. That's wild. Go wow, go tell, go wow, it's burning in your soul. You just have to minister the word to people. You have to share your life, what you are. You just got to. If you don't, you bust people. You got to talk to somebody or you go, whoo, you blow out. We are the lights of the world, people, the word says. We're the salt of the earth. We are the luminaries blazing a path in life where sin has no part and no place, people. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. In John chapter 14, John 14, boy, I've seen the scripture come to pass a little more and more all the time, but I'd really like to see it. And I believe there's a possibility of seeing it yet in my lifetime because of what I see here and other places around where I've traveled and been this year. But boy, look at John 14, 12. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he who believeth on me, and people, we believe on him, don't we? I know I believe on him. He says, the works that I do, shall he do what also? The greatness of the works that he did in love, giving of alms, in prayer, treasure, different masters, his care. How to judge. If you got a mote in your own eye, quit complaining about somebody else. a demand, a fruit, house that's built on the rock. How he ministered to a leper, to a centurion, to Peter's wife's mother, and how he healed all. Man, there, a whole bunch of them. I was just going to show you the love of the Master in living reality in his word. Just some of them. And I haven't even begun to tap many of them that are in the scripture. See? They're there. This shows the Master. And he said, the works that I do, what? He said it, people. I didn't say it. He said it. I'm saying it because he said it. And people, you and I have what the Word of God says we have. We are what the Word of God says we have. And I believe, to the greatest of my ability, I wish I were a better man to believe more, to be able to do more for you, for our people. But I believe what the Word says. The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works, the new birth, than these shall he do, because I go where? Unto my Father which is in heaven. I want to live to see this growing more and more, but it'll come into fruition as we continue to develop within ourselves and saturate ourselves with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And just live love. Love to live love. And we live with it day by day. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, gosh, how I thank you tonight, Father, for this beautiful day of living victoriously in love. And may every day be a victoriously living day in love. Thank you, Father, for the privilege again of living this day and loving your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen.